You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in. So glad that you could tune in. If you're watching online, hey, we're glad that you could make it. You have a bunch of people here that are going to cheer for you real loud when I ask them to. Ready? Would you guys cheer for them and welcome all those that are watching online? Hey, we've got somebody watching from Paris today, Texas, but for all of our people all over the world, if you like what you're watching today, if you think this is encouraging, and even if you don't like it, would you please click that share button at the bottom? That would mean a lot to us. I think it's an amazing thing when you choose to share your social media influence and the story of Jesus. That's a big deal. Hey, happy Mother's Day. Mothers, we've got some special things for you on your way out. We've got a gift for you that we're gonna give you. And guys, if you're shocked that you forgot Mother's Day, in the bathroom, the men's bathroom, we have cards just for you. Cards, envelopes, take the pen out of the seat in front of you, take it to the bathroom, fill out a card, lick that bad boy, put your name on top of it, and it's our gift to you. Your tithe money paid for it, so use it just in case you forgot to get yourself out of trouble, because we love you, we wanna help you. And what you can do for us is sign up for Beast Feast. So this is the week for Beast Feast. That's an amazing men's event that's coming up at the end of this week. So there's still a few spots available. In case you noticed the four-wheeler in the lobby, we will be giving that bad boy away. That's not for you, mothers. Sorry. That's for the men. Maybe. If we can increase the tithing around here, maybe we can start. No, I'm just kidding. Or am I? No. I do, on that note, I do want to say thank you for generosity. You guys are an amazing, generous tithing church. We're able to do so many things, not just the normal paying of the bills and the blessing of people and the ministering to people's needs that we would do, but we did get a call a few weeks back. There was a pastor by the name of Peter. He works in the Czech Republic, and he needed to get 34 people out of the Ukraine and back into the Czech Republic. And he said, I need about $1,000 to do that. And I said, my church has got your back. We're happy to do something like that. Among those 34 people are 16 orphans with no place to go. And so I wanna let you know your generosity is making a difference, not just here in Longview, but around the world. And it matters when you're able to do not just our normal giving, but over and above. You guys are making it possible to do things that just happen to be spur of the moment, things that need to get done. And so that's a big deal. Thank you very much for that. Grab your Bibles if you would. We're gonna continue on with our series called Before the Wind. This is all about sharing your story. We're going to show you some different stories from some people that you may see on our platform, people that are in leadership here. They're going to share with you a little bit of their testimony, share with you the things that God is doing in their life and the seasons that they've had to walk through. And it's extremely important for me to encourage you as a pastor to help you realize a couple things. Number one, you have a story to tell. You've got some things that you've walked through. And number two, nobody ever tells you really how to do that. It's something that we've gotten away from in our like Americanized version of Christianity, the responsibility of sharing your testimony, but it's important. You've got a story to tell. Now, most of us will get away from that story because it's raw and it's intense and we don't want people to kind of see us that way. But I found this to be true, that many people have been drawn to this church. We've had some tremendous growth over the past few years. And we ask people, what brought you here? What was it that made you want to make this place your church home? And there's one word that keeps coming up more often than not in those conversations. And you kind of clue in on it after a while. And the word is authentic. Authentic. And I figured out, like, when you boil down, what is that brings people here, that makes them want to stick? It's like, well, you may not be perfect. You may not be, but it just feels real. It feels authentic. And I found that we're a fan of authenticity. We're a fan of when people can talk to us just like face-to-face, person-to-person. Don't be weird with it, just say it. I found this to be true, that everyone is a fan of authenticity until it's your turn. Until it's your turn. You have a story to tell. In order to keep our church healthy, you have to be willing to be just as authentic as everybody else. It's real, it's raw, and it's you. And it's beautiful. You've got a story to tell. So the tagline of this series is, you see the glory, you don't know the story. Things weren't always perfect. There are a lot of things we've had to battle through to get to this point, but I'm still here. I'm still praising God. I'm still standing and doing what God has called me to do in spite of the struggles that I've had. And you've got them too. There's a reason why you're still here today. There's a reason why you came to church. Now, maybe it's just to appease your mom. We'll take it. We will take it, whatever it takes. We want you here. We want to encourage you to remember that you have a story. And God wants to do great things through your story. So I wonder, this is the question that was posed to me that kind of stirred me up. And I want to share it with you. Will you tell Jesus' story if you can't even share your own? And we will push people to share the story of Jesus, but like I can't even talk about my own stuff right now. But once you learn how to share your story and recognize that Jesus' story is your story, powerful things begin to happen through you. And that's my heart as a pastor, is to equip you to do what God has called you to do, and telling your story is a big part of it. So as we're gonna get into God's word today, I wanna show you 2 Peter chapter 1. There's some powerful truths here as you're turning there. I was thinking about sharing my own story and the reasons why it took me so long to really share the things that God had done through me. And it's because they were intense and they're real and they're raw. And my story doesn't look like a lot of pastor's story. Now, not many people can stand up here and say the things that they've had to struggle with. I think a lot of pastors do have a similar story. They just won't share it. And the difference between them and me is I don't have anything else. That's all I've got. But this is the story that God's given me. It's a story of mistakes, and it gets intense, and it's raw, but it's my story. And it doesn't define me, but now the Lord uses it to do great things in other people. So when I was little, I used to love going to the library. My parents raised us without television. We didn't have secular music or any kind of TV in our home. And so the only thing that we could do was go to the library. So that was a big deal. In Fort Worth, you would go to the Tandy Center, which was this place that you could reach by subway. It's the only place in Fort Worth that had a subway. And so you'd pull up into the parking lot, get on this tiny train and drive about 4 feet into the library. But it still was a cool thing. And we'd get into that library and we could just, there's just a world of information. We were big readers when I was little because there was no television. There's no internet. I'm dating myself. This was back before the internet even existed. You had to have a library card. You had to know things that are not relevant today. Things like Dewey Decimal System. If you're underneath the age of 30, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But that used to be a big deal. You had to know the Dewey Decimal System to figure out what kind of book goes where and how to find what you're looking for. And one of my favorite kind of books in the preteen section was the Choose Your Own Adventure books. I used to love that because it used your imagination and you got to get like 20 books for the price of one. And when you'd read the story, in case you don't know what that is, you'd come to the bottom of the page and there would be a decision that the character would have to make. And if you were to insert yourself into the story, it says, if you want to go left, you go to page 94. If you want to go right, you go to page 97. And based upon your decision, the character would play out the rest of the story. Now, some of those undoubtedly would lead to crazy endings. And you're like, I don't like this ending at all. It doesn't, like the book was too short. There's plenty of other endings. And you would go back to the point where you made that big mistake and make a different decision, right? Because the story got too intense. It got too real. It got too raw or it ended too soon. And I think that's one of the reasons why many of us still don't share our story is because we came to a part that we don't like. And maybe that part is today. I don't like this part of my story. And I want to encourage you. You can always go back to the Jesus part. Go back to the Jesus part. Say, Lord, I don't like this part of my story. So I'm gonna take it back to just you. Would you show me what's a better decision to make from here? You see, don't refuse to tell your story just because you're in the messy part, the intense part, the hopelessness part. Because what will tend to happen is we'll get stuck in that hopeless part. And then we'll take that hopeless part and apply it to God. And when you look at God through a hopeless filter, you miss out on the beautiful parts of walking with him. You miss out on those good moments where God is able to move you through the messy part of your story. You don't get stuck there. So in 2 Peter, what's unique about the book of 2 Peter is that he writes 1 and 2 Peter kind of back to back. And so he sends one letter to the Christians that are struggling with all kinds of church problems. And by the way, you think today's church had problems? Every church has always had problems from the very beginning of time. Like there is no perfect church that never had issues. It had people, it had issues. And so he writes this letter to people that are struggling. They're being persecuted. There's heresy. There's people that are fighting with one another. There's all kinds of sin issues going on. You're like, I've been to that church. Like, no, this is the first church. And as he sends them out this first letter, 1 Peter, he's like, wait a minute, you know what? I need to tell them this too. And so he pins 2 Peter and sends it right behind this first letter. And in chapter 1, he gives some great things that he feels like they have to understand in order to unlock the first part of what he just said. And we pick it up in chapter 1, and I want you to see what he pins in this amazing book. This is what's important. Look at verse 3. He says, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I want to stop right there for just a moment and help you to understand the importance of what he's saying. He's saying God's power is doing for us two things, amazing things. One of the things you're going to like a lot. The other things you're not going to like at all, but it's good for you. It's like when you're eating a meal as a kid and your parents are like, hey, when you eat this, you get this. Like, finish up your meal and I'll let you have a snack. Or finish up your meal and then you can get a dessert. I get it. He says, everything that God has given us, all his wisdom, helps you to not just have an amazing and abundant life. But so here's the second part, godliness. The part of your life where I begin to mess with stuff. So God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Through the knowledge, or the more that we get to know God, he says he's called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. Notice the words that he's using here, his precious and very great promises. And it's important that you see right before that, he says the more that we get to know him, we realize it's about his glory and excellence. Now, this is really critical for you to get at the core of your theology, that it's more about him than it is about you. The story of the Bible is a lot more about him than it is about you. And the Apostle Peter clues us back into what is most important. He says this, God has given us great, precious promises. Pick it up. It says, so that through them, through those promises, what are they going to help you to do? You may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now, there's several things that we have to understand about these very great and precious promises that he's bringing to us, because I think we get off in a lot of our understanding of God when we talk about the promises of God. We used to sing those songs, standing on the promises of God, the promises of God, the promises of God. And you'll read through the Bible and you'll pick out stuff. You're like, that sounds like a promise. I'm going to take that one and apply it to myself. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but understand there are many, many promises in the Bible that do not apply to you. They were for them. Now, there's some promises that absolutely apply to you that you don't like. But it's important to understand which of these promises is God speaking to me, because you don't want to be in the middle of a struggle standing on the wrong promise, right? It's something that God promised to somebody else. So Peter makes it clear that God has given us some amazing promises, and those promises help us to become more like him. So I want to give you three things that are really important for us to understand when we're standing on God's promise. Just like he speaks to the first church here to help us walk through the rough seasons of life. Number one, if you're a note taker, you might want to write this down. This will help you. This is important for you to know. Number one, God makes promises to help me become more like him. God makes promises to help me become more like him. Now, we use a word that's a very churchy word. Don't get stuck on the word, but it's an important word for you to know. The word is sanctification. Sanctification. I didn't just speak in tongues or Spanish. Sanctification. It's an important word for you to know. What does that mean? That means where God is responsible for pulling things out of your life that do not belong and putting himself into your life. Now, this is a painful process sometimes, but it's a very, very good and powerful process that if you're a believer of Christ, you cannot avoid. God is constantly working to pull things out of your life so he can put himself where those things are. So we say it this way, the promises of God have a sanctifying effect. Trusting God's promise has a sanctifying effect. This is important for me to know, because when I'm walking through a difficult season, I can start viewing it from a different lens than just, I got to get through this as fast as possible. I got to fix this. I got to make this right. I got to make a decision. I got to buy my way. I got to write a check. Like, wait a minute. What has God's word promised me? And then what is God doing in my life in this season? Changes everything when you view the season differently. When I'm standing on God's promise, God's doing a work inside of my heart. Now, there are plenty of promises of God's from the Lord in his word. But I believe that there is one promise to that is the most important to me, and that probably is going to be more important to you than any other promise. I'm going to show you this in Ezekiel chapter 36. And in verse 26, God says this. He makes this promise to every single person. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit inside of you. When we learn to trust God, to take him at his word, God says, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a new heart. The things that used to move you, I'm going to change the way that you think. I'm going to change the way that you feel. I'm going to change the way that you're operating. I'm going to do an amazing work inside of you. I'm going to sanctify you. So if you're not sure which promises apply to you, start with this one. This one applies to me. God says, I promise you this. If you let me, I'm going to do a work inside of you. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a new spirit. I'm going to do a great work inside of you. This changes everything because I want to make sure that you see this. I'll put it on the screen. We want the promise to produce something for us, but God's promises are given to do a work in us. Now, if your relationship with God is only give me, I want, make this, bless me, you're selling yourself way, way short. There's no sanctification there. It's this confusion we have between God and Santa Claus. Santa Claus is not about your sanctification. It's not sanctification. That's good. I'm writing that down for third service. They need to hear that, those heathens. God is more concerned with doing the work inside you than just providing things for you. And when I can trust in God's promises, he begins to do something inside of my heart that I need desperately. Peter says, you're now becoming partakers in his divine nature. In the middle of all the things that are happening in your life, when you trust God's promise, you start becoming more like him. And God's like, that's what I'm talking about. This is the purpose of this tough season. Here's point number two. Number two. God's promises are only easy to trust in the rearview mirror. Somebody say amen. Amen. We'll talk about it, but when you actually have to do it, whew, big difference. Big difference. When talk the talk has to go to walk in the walk, no thanks. Now, lots of people, by the way, can look at your life and the season that you're in, and they can say things like, yeah, I was there. You know, all you got to do is this. That's not that big of a deal. We've moved on to greater things. I understand it's not a big deal for you because you're past it, but I'm in it. I'm right in the middle of this, so don't trivialize that. Understand that it's not easy to trust in God's word. I get that I'm supposed to. It's not easy to do it. Why? Because I'm in the middle of a wilderness. I'm in a dark season. I'm not in a good place. And for some of us, you just need to admit that that's where you are. Because when you admit that that's where you are, you start seeing what you need to do. I need to trust in the Lord. I need to get closer to him. I need to stop just asking him to change the situation, to change her heart, to make her love me, to change my businesses, to give me more money, and start saying, Lord, your will be done. Help me. What are you showing me? What can I learn in this season? God's promises are only easy to trust in the rearview mirror, and standing on those promises, they're hard to do. Peter understands this when he's encouraging the church. He's like, I get it, but these are very great and precious promises. It's not the same as when somebody pinky swore to you, and that pinky swear turned out to be good for about 10 minutes. You been there? When somebody promises you that they're gonna love you till the end of time and you're in the third grade? Right? We have a difficult time with that word promise because we throw it around very, very loosely. I swear I didn't do it. I swear I didn't need it. Yes, you did on both accounts. I swear this is what I meant. No, it's not. We heard you. I promise you. We will use that word to get out of more tickets. I promise I didn't even know. I didn't see those blinking yellow lights. We'll throw that word around a lot. But when you're walking through the wilderness, standing on God's promises are difficult to do. Why? And I'm going to say it this way, because everything bites in the wilderness. Everything stings. Everything hurts. People will be talking about things that have nothing to do with you, and you're walking through a rough season, and you will make it personal. Every social media post that someone posts about something else, that becomes about you. They're throwing it in your face. Why? Because you're in the wilderness. You're an open wound and you're raw and you're hurting and it's all about you. And you get really, really sensitive. Am I stepping on anybody's toes today but my own, right? I'm just telling you, when you're in the wilderness, everything stings, everything bites. It's all about me because I'm raw and I'm wounded and I'm hurt. And instead of standing on the promises of God, I find myself isolating and not trusting any promises because they're full of things that were broken, including me. Have you been there? I've been there. I've been there. When it's, everything seems to set you off. Everything seems to bite. You know, everything is painful when you're walking through that hard season. And so when we talk about God speaking to us, saying, hey, I've got great and precious promises for you. I want to do a work inside of you. I want to put my spirit within you. And I want to give you a new heart. In order to trust God's promises, I need to know three things. Number one, to trust a promise, I need to see track record, character, and the ability to keep that promise. Now, when I look at myself, I'm like 0 for 3. When I look around me at people that will make you promises, you're going to find yourself at least lacking in one. The good news is only your Father can fulfill all three with perfection. He has an incredible track record of keeping his word. And when he says stuff like, I want to bless your children and your children's children, he's a generational God that can do things way above what you can imagine. You can trust his word. So how do we take just promises of God and just apply them to every part of our life? Let me just tell you, one of the great ways that you can figure out which promises belong to me and which promises are just good things that God promised to other people is something I didn't see until this week. When Peter says, God has given us these very great and precious promises, he writes it in the original language in the continuous tense. That doesn't mean that God gave them to you one time for one set of people. It means he's always giving it to all believers. That means I can apply it to me. The promises weren't just good for them. They're good for me. And when you see God's promises in the continuous tense, you can say, I will take that right now. When God says, I'm going to put a new spirit and a new heart, I can see the continuous tense and I can say, yes, I'll stand on your promise that you're doing a work inside of me. So God is doing a work through his promise. And God is showing me that I understand it's not easy. It's only easy if you've already come through it. It's not easy if you're walking through it today. Here's point number three. Number three, I don't have to see the promise fulfilled today to choose praise today. And I think most of us would agree that when God finally comes through, you've got something to praise about. You've got something to shout about. Now you come to church on Sunday and forget all about what just happened, how God came through, because now you got the next problem. But you have a reason to praise God, even if the promise that you're standing on has not been fulfilled yet. Because praise is a choice. It's not a feeling. Praise is what we choose to do. Why? Because he's God. And because I know that he loves me, because I know he's doing a work inside of my heart. So I can choose to praise God whether I feel like it or not. I can choose praise. In Numbers chapter 21, the people of Israel were calling out to Moses for water. We don't have water. We're in the middle of the desert. We can't find anything to drink. And by the way, this happened over and over and over again. And God had promised them, I'm going to sustain you. I'm going to carry you through to the promised land. And continually they found themselves doubting the promise of God. But God begins to speak to them and tells them to begin to sing to the sand. They begin to sing a song, spring up, oh well, when there was no well, when there was no spring. And they begin to sing as if it had already happened. They choose to praise God in spite of the fact that I don't see it. I don't feel it. I'm certainly not partaking in the water that God has provided yet. But I know that I can trust his promise and he will come through. In the book of Isaiah, it says, sing, barren woman, sing, because there's many generations that are coming after you. I've got a lot of people that are going to be born to you, even though you would classify yourself as barren. God says, sing, like you've got victory before victory comes. Why? Because I trust in the goodness of God and I can stand on his promise even if I don't see it fulfilled. What promise have you been standing on? Is it a promise from God or is it a promise that you made up and gave to yourself? I promise I'm gonna change. I promise I'm gonna fix this. I promise I'm gonna make it right. I promise that someday I'll fix it. Like you're standing on your own promises and you've been known to break your own promises. Here's the good news. There is one who doesn't break his word. And when we start trusting God, we can learn things like, I don't have to trust myself. I can trust the God in me who's given me a new spirit and a new heart. And I can sing before the breakthrough comes. So I've been encouraging you this week in this series, Before the Win. I've been encouraging you to think about what it means to share your story, to share your moment in the wilderness, to share your moment in the drought, the moment that you had to trust God, the moment that you had to stand on his promise. And that's something that is difficult to do, but I recognize the fact that you need to see it done. Leaders have to go first. And so for the authenticity of this church, we've asked our leaders to start sharing their story. And we found this to be true. It's difficult. It's hard even for us to do it because it's raw and it's real. And it's painful. And we want you to believe that we've got it all put together. We never had a hard day in our life, never made a mistake, never had to trust the promises of God because we just always have. We just naturally trust his promise. No, we don't. And it was hard. It was difficult. But we're learning to share our story. You need it. You need this story. And other people need yours. You have a story to tell, and it's messy, and it's real, and it's raw, but it's your story. And in the process of learning about who you are, you start learning who God is. So our leaders this week that we've chosen for you are Paul and Ashley. And they're gonna share their story about a time that they walked through not so long ago when it was difficult to stand on God's promise. It was difficult to see things from God's perspective because they're in the middle of a wilderness and drought. And things that they thought God was gonna do for them just weren't happening on their timetable. Now, it's easy to look back at their story and say, oh yeah, they're great people. That's because you see the glory, you don't know the story. You don't know what it took to get there. And so pay attention, if you would, to the screen. I think you'll enjoy this. Check it out.
We're Paul and Ashley Dufa. Ashley is the creative director here at High Ridge Church. I'm a campus pastor and Bible teacher at a local Christian school. We met back in 2003, actually on my 21st birthday. I was an instant hit with Ashley right off the bat, to be honest. But through a series of unfortunate events, we actually didn't end up getting married until 2010.
I would say that our lives right now are really great, really fast-paced and a lot crazy, but really fulfilling too. And we have great family over here in the U.S. as well as in England. And just things are amazing right now, but you know, it wasn't always that way.
We got married in our mid to late 20s. And so we felt like it was probably a good idea to start having kids fairly quickly. It wasn't long after we began trying that we realized that something wasn't working right.
So early on into our journey, we felt like we had received some promises from the Lord about our family and about children. And one of these that sticks out in my mind was at a youth camp that we had taken our youth group to, somebody who wasn't scheduled to be there came and they had a word for somebody who was struggling to have kids. And they called us up and prayed for us and laid hands on us and various individuals praying over us, coming to us and saying, you know, that didn't know our struggle, giving us some words. And so we were holding on to these promises, but I was eventually referred to a fertility specialist who I saw for on and off for about 4 years, went through lots of different procedures, diagnostic things, exams, lots of blood work and surgery. And at the end of it, we just finally gave up because it was too much. It was too much on us emotionally. I can remember one time when I was waiting in the exam room for a long time and I was looking at the ultrasound machine with my name and information on it. and the blank screen and just thinking, this isn't the way that it's supposed to be.
It was just a really painful time to go through, and really feeling like no one understood where we were at and what we were going through and the emotions that we were feeling.
Mother's Day was particularly hard. It just eventually became really difficult for me to be there and not show my emotions, and but I wasn't ready to talk about it, and I didn't want to be a party pooper, so I just stopped going and started isolating. We both did. We started isolating. We only talked to each other about our struggles, really, and we just kind of distanced ourselves from people and stopped going anywhere where a conversation could come up that would bring up the emotion that was so raw at the moment.
So one of the problems that you face when you are in a lot of emotional pain and then you isolate is that you become really susceptible to believing lies. I heard a pastor one time say, a lie spoken at the right moment of vulnerability can sound like the truth. And that is really where we found ourselves. But even in those times, we were still holding on to those promises, believing that those promises were true. And there were scriptures that came to mind. One of the most powerful ones that we held on to the most was from Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19, which basically is in the middle of exile for the people of God. And Habakkuk is writing this prayer in this belief that this time will come to an end. And we felt like we were in that place, that there was a promise that this would come to an end, but we had no evidence for that. We couldn't see it happening. But then he goes on to say, I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God, my Savior.
So eventually we decided to start opening up about our struggle. We realized that we couldn't do it alone and that we needed to start telling people so they could be praying for us and helping us. And I feel like that was a big turning point for us. One of the stories from the Bible that I was hanging on to through all this was the story of Hannah, of course, who is a woman who's having trouble with infertility, and she prays and asks God for a son. And that story has a happy ending, but I had read it so many times that I was kind of tired of it. But toward the end of the year 2016, I happened upon that story again in my daily reading, and I just stopped and I said one last prayer to the Lord. Lord, this is still my heart. I still believe that you have a child for us. So it wasn't long after that, in the same year, Black Friday, I decided to take a step of faith and take a pregnancy test, which I hadn't done for years. And it was positive.
A holy Bible, lots of books, and
right away, as we started sharing it, we noticed just how excited people were for us. You know, we realized that the same people that we shared our struggle with were now rejoicing with us in this win, and that was just so encouraging.
So after that initial win, we still had to battle. We still had to hold on to God's promises. The fear was hard, going through almost 7 years of infertility and now having this precious life inside me. I just didn't know if I was ever gonna be able to meet this child. And so that battle with fear, it was a daily one. But I kept praying, Lord, let this end in whatever brings you the most glory.
So finally, on July 26, 2017, we welcomed our first baby daughter, miracle baby, into this world. And her middle name is Elizabeth, which means promise of God. So not long after she was born, we decided that we were gonna try to have another. And we got pregnant very quickly. And we were actually on a trip. We went on a trip to England to see my family, and we were able to make that announcement in person this time with them, which was really special. So we had our 11-week checkup the day after we got back from that trip. And we had some concerns about the pregnancy. So as the appointment went on, we had an ultrasound, and the doctor was pretty silent through that. And it wasn't long after that that he said that we were in the middle of a miscarriage, and that this baby wasn't going to be born.
So walking through that miscarriage after all of the years of infertility was really hard on us, but God carried us through it, and we could see his hand in all of that. But I felt like the Lord gave me a new promise for another child as our church was going through a series called Daring Faith. And there was one particular week where they talked about thanking God before the win and praising God for his answer before you see it happen. And so I took that on and really started thanking the Lord for another child. And it wasn't super long after that that we got pregnant with our son. He was born in June of 2019. And right before he was born, the song No Longer Slaves, which says, you know, I'm no longer a slave to fear, was playing right before he was born. And I had to walk through the daily process of fighting fear with him as well because of the miscarriage that we just walked through. And I decided to lead that song when we were doing our online worship project that we recorded in 2020. And actually, while we were recording that song and I was leading the song, I was really, really sick, ill, pregnant with our third child. And now we have three beautiful, healthy children, all under the age of five. And our lives are completely insane and wonderful and full. With our story, hindsight is 2020. We can see God's hand through everything right now, and we're looking back, and we can see the ways that he worked in our lives. But while we were in the middle of it, we didn't know the end of the story. We didn't know how he was gonna do it, and we didn't know for sure that we would end up with three kids. But, you know, God always outdoes himself when he promises. He over-delivers, and I'm so grateful for that.
So even though now it looks like we're winning and we have everything we always, you know, hoped we would have, it's important to remember that God was always faithful, even before we saw the win.
Powerful story. And for those of you that, you know, maybe Mother's Day is not a day of celebration, but it's a hard, difficult season for you. Maybe you had a difficult mother figure. Maybe you've had a moment in your life where you've had to walk through something similar to what our people have walked through that you just saw on the screen. I want you to know you're not alone. And some days are really tough because you're in the middle of a wilderness. And the good news is you have a promise from God that he's doing something inside of your heart. And we're glad, honored to be a part of that process today. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to help you. He wants to put his spirit within you and do a great work. I know it's difficult to stand on God's promise, but it's worth it. As we take a moment to finish up today, I want to invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. And I wonder how many of us would say, with the kind of protection that anonymity brings, how many of us would say, honestly, Pastor, I'm walking through a really rough season. Can I just see your hand all across this place? If you're watching online, would you mind just clicking a thumbs up in the chat? I'm in a rough season. I need to be able to trust in God's promise. It's a difficult time for me. I want to pray for you. If you're watching us online, would you take a moment and just receive this prayer? What I like to do is just open up my hands. I place them on my knees as if someone was handing me a gift. I want to pray over you right now. Father, we believe that your promises are still true, even if we don't feel like it. Father, your word tells us that you can do things immeasurably above what I could ask or think or even imagine. Your word is an amazing testimony to your promise. And we can bank on your word. We can bank on your promises. And Father, I pray for every single person that's walking through a difficult season that you remind them of the promise. They're going to put a new heart in them. You're going to put your spirit inside of them. Use this to do an amazing work. And Father, I pray that as we trust in that promise, our response would simply be, "Thy will be done. I trust you. I trust that your will is better than what I want." We trust your goodness. We trust your faithfulness. We trust your mercy. In spite of our difficulties, we trust in the God that has never failed, that has never broken his promise. We trust you. In Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to pose one more question for you here today. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, "Pastor, I don't really know if I have a relationship with Jesus. As a matter of fact, I'm not sure if I've ever asked him to be the Lord of my life." Is that you today? Maybe you've been away from God and you need to come home. You're raised in church, or you've been to church, you've done all the things, but you've been away from God. You know that today is a day you need to come home. You may not know how to do that. I want to help you to do that, just like somebody helped me one time. If that's you and you want a relationship with Jesus, or you need to come back to him, would you pray with me right where you are? Pray this prayer with me. I'll tell you what to say. The prayer goes like this. Just say, "Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God." Come on, pray with me. "I believe that you came, you died, you rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all of my sins. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior, to forgive me, to save me. I give my life to you right now in Jesus' name." With every head bowed and every eye closed, my friend, if that was just you, if you actually prayed that prayer and you say, "Pastor, that was me. I prayed that prayer with you. I'm not afraid or ashamed to admit it. I did. I prayed that prayer. Can you just give me a quick wave all across this place if you wouldn't mind? I see you. Good. Good for you, young man. Good for you, young man. Good for you. If you're watching us online, would you do us a favor? Click the thumbs up in the chat. That was me. I just prayed. And I want to challenge you. If you took that step, if you took that challenge of that prayer of faith, I wonder if you'll take the next one. You've already come this far. Let me challenge you with one more. There's a number that's appearing on your screen. The number is 844-HRC-TEXT. If you'd do me a favor, text the words "I pray" to that number. What we're going to do is send you some links to some videos that will help you understand what just happened in your heart and what you should do next. We want to help you. We're proud of you. Good for you. Well, Highbridge family, go ahead and look up at me, then stand to your feet if you would. I'm going to invite our elders and their wives to come down here, to remain standing here, to pray with you about anything that you might need prayer about. If you're watching us online today, would you do us a huge favor and click the share button? It sure would mean a lot to those that I know that might be struggling with infertility, might be struggling through a difficult season and needing to stand on the promise of God. I also want to take a moment to thank Ashley and Paul. Ashley's down here, willing to pray with anybody that's walking through that struggle. Pastor Paul's back there on that camera, making sure that people that are watching online have a chance to see this story. We love that you've walked through a difficult season, and in the moment that you're finished with that season, you're serving God's people. That means a lot to us. So we want to applaud you guys today for Paul and Ashley. Would you guys take a moment, tell them thank you for sharing their story? It's been awesome to be a part of that, and we love you very much. Awesome. Mothers, we have a special gift for you today as you're walking out. No, it is not the four-wheeler that is in the lobby. But we will be giving that away this weekend, the 13th, Friday. We will be giving that away at Beast Feast. So guys, you want to get your ticket. Your ticket will be your chance to win that amazing four-wheeler. That will be an amazing gift for somebody who wins that. I will also be available to buy that if you should choose that maybe your wife don't want you to have that. Let me just tell you, it's better to give than receive, my brother. I can't be eligible to win it, but I can beg. There's no scripture that says I can't. It says God's seed isn't begging for bread. It didn't say not begging for four-wheelers. I'm just saying. I don't know where I'm going with that. Let me bless you and send you out. Father, I thank you for my friends. I pray that they would have an amazing week standing on your word, standing on your promises, and accomplishing all that you've called for them to accomplish as they share their story. Would you be with all of them in Jesus' name? And everyone said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an awesome day.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.